¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.
Now let me bring you to another level. So you see very well that the oil is the Holy Spirit. And then you see that when you are infilled with the Holy Spirit, you definitely lose the love for the things of the world. That is the separation that he's emphasizing that can come through the one and only authority, that is the Holy Spirit, taking authority over you as the church, the redefined, remnant, perfect bride of Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, tomo tu vida in Spanish, take over, consume your life, and then cause you to separate. Why? Because part of the process of separation is very bitter. It's a very bitter process. I can see very clearly when Christ Jesus was separating from the world on the cross, the time at which he finally asked for that drink of water he was thirsty on the cross. It was one of the most bitter times, bitter moments of his life. And then his spirit cut and went down and redeemed the church. You see that? On its resurrection. So separation is a very bitter process. Therefore, you need the complete and overwhelming influence of the Holy Spirit, which influence cannot come from the basic initial anointing that everybody is endowed with. That authority that comes from the influence of the Holy Spirit comes out of an added anointing of the Holy Spirit as you walk in the dark with that kind of light towards the rapture of the church. Let's bring it to another level, precious people. So we see very clearly here that only the wise virgins were able to experience the separation which comes out of complete love of Christ, which means Christ becomes a premium into their lives. Hallelujah. And number two, which means they rearrange their value systems. They begin to give a premium to the love of Christ. And they devalue all the things of the world. Hallelujah. So they change their value systems. While the foolish virgins did not change their value systems, they claim to love Christ while they still continue to be entangled in the things of the world. Much as they separated, by the way, they stepped out of the general church. They were now aware Christ is coming. They were preparing, denying themselves, beating their flesh here and there, but they continued in the sin of the flesh. Hallelujah. Now, let us bring this separation to the next level, to the part when he says, come out of them. The book of 2 Corinthians, somebody, chapter 6, hallelujah, verses 14 to 18, still talks about that same separation which the five wise virgins were able to accomplish, and yet the foolish virgins could not. 2 Corinthians, somebody, I'm reading chapter 6, verses 14 to verse 18. He says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Hallelujah. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as he said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, therefore, come out of them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So do you see the importance of the separation the Lord was talking about here? I know this has been used severally by the church towards physical marriage in the world. When people want to get married, they read this scripture here. Just like Paul mentioned it very clearly in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, I am not talking about the marriage in the flesh, the marriage in the physical. I am talking about the spiritual marriage, the marriage between Christ and the perfect bride of Christ. You see that? Same thing applies here. He says, separate and come out of them. Come out of them and be separate. This is climaxing and re-emphasizing the importance of the role of the Holy Spirit in separating out the remnant bride of Christ, a process that was essentially lacking among the five foolish virgins. Again, this is re-emphasizing and re-articulating the importance of the authority of the Holy Spirit in separating out the remnant bride of Christ from the world, a process that essentially was lacking among the five foolish virgins, and yet a process that was very outstanding, a landmark, the process that characterized the identity of the five wise virgins. One of the main things is that they separated out for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. And this separation could only be accomplished by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Does somebody understand me here? And so you begin to understand that when the Lord spoke this parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, He touched the very dead center of the church. He touched the dead center of the throne room of God. He touched the heart of the wedding of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And let's move on, somebody, to another level on this separation. Again, I've mentioned clearly that this separation is from the world, as is emphasized in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to 18. Let's bring it to another level. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Hallelujah. Verse 2 still talks about the importance of this separation here. He says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." You see what I'm talking about here? He's saying, during the separation, you cannot even continue being conformed to the things of the world anymore. Because that is what separation is all about. To move out of the conformations of the world, a very important character, a very important practice that was lacking among the five foolish virgins. They mix their walk, they mix their waiting with the things of the world. And yet here he says, you cannot even be conformed any longer to the things of the world. But let me bring it to another level. Look at what he says. He says, in other words, you should be infilled by the Holy Spirit and be transformed by constantly renewing your mind. Which means as they stepped out, there was a spiritual growth process. Hallelujah. The constant transformation through the renewing of their minds, the reallocating of the value systems in their lives, beginning to reshuffle, to throw out the values of the world that they came with, the values of the churches of the world they came with, and beginning to reprioritize, re-champion Jesus as premium, as precious, as outstanding, as the one and only champion of their hearts, as the one and only priority of their lives. Hallelujah. And so in this scripture here, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it is very clear that as they stepped out, there was supposed to be a transforming growth, a constant renewal, which renewal would only come through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So you see that when the end time arrives, when the critical moment arrives, the peak season, the midnight hour arrives, it was so important that the virgins would have to be transformed completely. In fact, that transformation is what graduates them to become immortal, by the way. Because now when the rapture takes place, they have won the immortality. They have won the imperishability that you hear of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 56. The imperishability and the immortality that the bride of Christ wears to qualify her to be in the glorious body that Christ Himself wears, so she can unite with Him. Hallelujah. And you see that that comes out of that critical transforming power of the infilling of the added Holy Spirit, the added vessel of the Holy Spirit, the jar that they carried and brought with them, which the foolish virgins did not. Because all of them woke up, trimmed their lamps. Hallelujah. And then the wise virgins, after seeing that the lamps were going off, they were able now to add the new oil, the external source, the external oil, because now the basal level, the initial anointing of just saying Jesus is Lord, even Jeremiah says it was common for them to say, for as long as my Lord lives, for as long as my Lord lives. Everybody could say that. But then there was need for an age when it comes now to that critical midnight hour. And this is what gives the age, the added anointing from external source, from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that added source was able to transform them so they can go into the spiritual realm, so they can completely delete, disconnect from the values of the earth, the values of the world, so they can go into the spiritual realm, be a glorious bride of Christ. Hallelujah. So this is exactly what the bride of Christ looks like, while the five foolish virgins were not able even to wear this character. But let me bring it to another level. When he said five foolish virgins and five wise virgins, the five wise virgins were able to enter. What did he mean? Look at this, somebody. These that step out, the ten virgins, they represent the section of the Pentecostal church that is preaching holiness. Hallelujah. Listen to me very carefully. And a remnant out of there steps out into the streets, steps out into the dark world. No wonder in Matthew 22, he says he sent his servants to invite those for whom the wedding was prepared, the banquet was prepared, but they failed to come. They went about doing their daily businesses. Hallelujah. One to their business, one to his field. And they did not pay attention to the messenger, the servants, the prophet of the Lord that was sounding the warning that, look, the fattened cattle have been butchered and the wedding dinner is now ready, which is the wedding supper of the Lamb of God. Yet another parable Jesus gave about the rapture. And so you find that he said they did not pay attention, the church, and so the Lord had to send his servants to the streets. Hallelujah. No wonder you see now that even in Matthew 25, it is these few remnants that stepped out of the church, stepped out in the streets, in the darkness, begin to evangelize the darkness, begin to show the light of Christ in the darkness, not belonging to a club membership in the churches of today. It is these ones here that the Lord was addressing. He says, it is those ones that step out in the streets. Only 5 out of the 10, which means 50%, will enter. So you begin to understand how small the number is. It becomes the remnant of the remnant of the remnant. No wonder the Bible says, every word written in this book, the Bible, will be fulfilled to the letter. The new heaven will come, the new earth will come and go, but this word will not change. Because this word tells us very clearly that like it was during the time of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And what do we see during the time of Noah? It was really a remnant of a remnant that went, that was saved. Hallelujah. And so it's very critical. And then another thing about the wise virgins, what is it about them that allowed them to enter? They fulfilled the book of Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 to 8. Because verse 8 talks about fine linen, bright and clean. That's the wedding gown they were able to put on. Hallelujah. They fulfilled that, which means they were sensitive that perilous times were coming. So they carried some midnight oil so they would be able to burn during the midnight hour when the storms would become so strong, when the enemy would be roaming around like a lion looking for whom to devour, when the lamps would be extinguished by the big storms, the winds. Hallelujah. They carried additional source, which is the oil, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They made themselves available as vessels for infilling, which infilling was able to empower them at the most critical time. But how did they do so? By preparing the vessel, by wearing the wedding gown, so the latter glory could infill them. Hallelujah. And look at this, somebody. Also, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, let's read that and see. Verses 26 to verse 27, only 2 verses. He talks about that mighty power of preparing. Let's begin from verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, hallelujah, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, hallelujah, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, hallelujah. And he says, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And so you begin to see the identity that the 5 wise virgins were able to wear, which the 5 foolish virgins did not wear. These ones became radiant, having been washed by water, which is the Holy Spirit is talking about here. The Holy Spirit they carried, the extra anointing now, that is washing them, that made them holy, which means the five foolish virgins were not holy, hallelujah, not washed. No Holy Spirit washed them. They didn't complete the process of washing. No wonder they remained infant forever, mixing the flesh into their Christian walk. But here you see that the water, which is the Holy Spirit, the vessel of oil that they carried, the Holy Spirit, was able to wash them through the water and the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. They became radiant, hallelujah, to him without stain, which means they were washed. The Holy Spirit can wash pure, no single stain, no wrinkle, no blemish, and remaining holy and also blameless, which means there was no right. The devil could not claim any right, whether legal right, historic right, any right over them, because they were washed with no blame. So you can see very clearly that when Jesus was talking to this church, to you that are listening and watching, this mighty parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, he spoke a very deep conversation about the rapture. And he said, make yourselves available as a vessel for the infilling by the Holy Spirit, so you may be washed to be radiant, perfect, mature, blameless, blemishless, without a wrinkle or stain, so you may be presented unto him on the day of the wedding. You can imagine how much a mother prepares a daughter to present her at the wedding hall to the men. That is in the physical level of the earth. How much more does the Holy Spirit, who has been sent to prepare the church, hallelujah, how much more does he prepare the church as a radiant, spotless, blemishless, wrinkleless, stainless, even blameless, so he may present her during the wedding of the Lamb of God. Now I want to bring you to the next level. Now let's talk about the oil in the book of Matthew 25. Again, still looking at the mighty parable when the Lord spoke about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. And he said, the difference between the wise virgins that enter into the wedding of the Lamb of God and the foolish virgins is the oil, the jar of oil that the wise virgins took, while the foolish virgins did not. Now, we know that the oil here symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And so it's very, very important to understand the Holy Spirit will bring anointing, a multifaceted anointing into the church. And this is what the Lord was speaking to the church. So there is the oil of gladness, the oil of the anointing, or the presence of God. And it's very, very critical that the church operate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even as she waits for the rapture. We've seen very clearly that only the Holy Spirit, through his infilling of the church, can he clean the church to be as radiant and pure, blameless, holy, presentable unto the Lord. And remember that in this wedding here, we are not wedding to the son of an earthly king. You can imagine how much is always arranged when the son of a king is wedding, how many Mercedes, Benzes, private jets, invited presidents of companies, of nations. And it's always a very big thing. Everything almost comes to a stop in those countries. But I'm talking about that being like a drop into an ocean if you consider the wedding to which the church has been aligned. The church is wedding to Christ the Messiah. The church is wedding to Christ the Son of the Living God, the creator of all the galaxies, the creator of the universe, including the earth, the one that created all the wealth of the universe, some of which have never been discovered, will never ever be discovered, the creator of all wisdom, the glorious king. And he's talking about presenting a glorious bride to his son. And you see very clearly that the Holy Spirit has been mandated with this role of preparing the bride of Christ. So surely that oil that the wise virgins took was very symbolic of the necessity of the church to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit so she can enter. It's amazing to me that that oil, again, is an external source. If you look very carefully, you see that all the lamps were lit, and yet the five wise virgins took a jar of oil, an external source. And everything went on right until the running low appeared at the midnight hour. All of them ran low. The wise virgins and the foolish virgins, their lamps ran low at the midnight hour, and they all trimmed their lamps. They were all drowsy. They all became sleepy and slept. But the only thing that mattered was one. When they woke up, the response of the foolish virgins and the response of the wise virgins. The wise virgins had an external source. And that's why the Lord is saying that the process that brings the remnant bride of Christ into the wedding of the Lamb does not come from self-effort. Because you see that the foolish virgins, not being available as a vessel to be infilled, lacking the external, extraneous source of support of the Holy Spirit, they were not able to prepare to be radiant and holy unto the Lord. But the wise virgins, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, were then able to be radiant enough, prepared by the Holy Spirit. Remember, He is the same Holy Spirit that has prepared the wedding rings, that has also shown me the clock that is 1 minute to midnight in the sky. So He is involved. He is central in this preparation. And so, it is only He that has authority enough to prepare the church to be radiant and spotless. Remember, spotless. And if this word spotless is written in the Bible, she surely will be spotless. And so the response is what matters here. The Lord, in other words, is saying that all will fail. All have run short of the glory of the Lord. But what matters, those that will be available to the Holy Spirit. This teaching essentially places the Holy Spirit at the center of the rapture of the church. Because He's telling the church to detour, to change direction and start emphasizing on the infilling and on the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And what matters, the response? And you see very clearly that at the midnight hour, the Holy Spirit becomes the midnight oil that the bride of Christ is able to burn and make it through and go right all the way into the wedding of the Lamb of God. But let's look at the Lamb before we move on, so we may understand even better. Now, the book of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, this is what the Bible says. What did the lamp symbolize? What was the importance of the lamp? Well, I know we've touched it here and there, but I want even to look at it a little bit more. Proverbs 20, 27. Let's look at the lamp. What did the lamp symbolize? Hallelujah. It says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his innermost being. So you begin to understand very clearly that the lamp that the Lord caused the 10 virgins to carry was very critical, because that lamp, like the Bible has said, your eye is the lamp of your body. It's a mirror of what's happening inside. Through the lamp that they were carrying, they were able to emit that which is in their hearts. No wonder I said you can take a synonym like the fibers of the heart that have been crucified could be the wick of the lamp. So you see that the lamp essentially here implies the reflection of the walk with Christ that the church is having. And so this lays a burden on the church, a responsibility on the church that wants to be the bride of Christ, because that lamp should emit out the gifts of the Spirit. That if you are infilled with the Holy Spirit, then the gifts of the Spirit will come out, and the men that are perishing, the people that are in the darkness, will see that. And the Lord speaks very clearly here that every single person has an anointing that was given to them, the basic anointing that I've talked about. But it was the original plan of the Lord that only the Holy Spirit light up each person's lamp. Hallelujah. And that's why that lamp becomes very critical in the Christian walk, that only the Holy Spirit light up your lamp. And now I'm bringing you to a higher level where you will begin to understand that there can be counterfeit lamps. The book of Psalms 119, verse 105, will help us understand this. The lamp is supposed to guide you and help you, and also to reflect the life of Christ that is in you. What is that lamp? Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So you surely see that when all the virgins stepped out to go wait on the Lord, the lamp was essentially supposed to give them light so they don't stumble and knock the rocks, hit their feet on the rocks, so they may walk the walk in the rightful way, even as ordained by the Lord in this calling. It's very important to understand that the lamp would also lead them into living the word of the Lord. So the light of the Lord that the wise virgins had emanated from the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let me bring you to another level. The lamp that the foolish virgins had emanated from the word of the Lord also. You see that? But the only difference is that the wise virgins fulfilled Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. That's the only difference between the two. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So you can see what the foolish virgins did. They were called foolish because they despised the wisdom and the discipline that is instituted and ordained by the word. So if you were to redefine the wise virgins, that was the church, the remnant church that lived under the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom. No wonder they were called wise. Essentially, that means the lamp that we're carrying was emitting out the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And their lives were characterized by the fear of the Lord.
¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor, si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.